Influencers is brought to you by
Joint Care, supplements to keep you active. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. The Affirmation Nation. And Guardian Talk Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I'm your host, Lady Shima. This show is a platform to highlight the transformational impact of global and national influencers who use the power of their influence to promote positive change. We also bring focused attention to the personal stories of influencers with the hope that their tenacity in the face of hard-hitting challenges and their unrelenting resilience will inspire the comeback spirit and every local and international listener. And today, he became a household name with his zero-tolerance and no-nonsense interview style on the popular news TV show Beyond the Headlines. With a relatively recent change in government administration, also came a change in his media and broadcasting career, where he ascended to stronger prominence as the mouthpiece for one of the chief governmental offices in the land. And today, I speak with influencer Clint Watson, press secretary in the office of the prime minister, on the topic, the state of the Bahamas press secretary and related matters of national concern. All this and more when we return here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM.
Hey, Dad, want a race?
Well, let's see who's trying to keep up with who today.
Oh, because you need a head start?
I'm already way ahead of you, son.
Keep up with what matters. Joint Care supplements your active lifestyle by supporting your bones, cartilage, muscles with essential nutrients. Joint Care helps to reduce inflammation with omega-3 and replenishes glucosamine, a natural compound vital to healthy cartilage and joints. Choose the Joint Care formula that is right for you. Supplex, Complete, and Max are available at your local pharmacy. Joint Care, a part of the Seven Seas family of vitamins and supplements.
Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Sawyer Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786. ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices.
Welcome back to Influencers. I'm your host, Lady Shima, and with me today is influencer, press secretary in the office of the prime minister, Clint Watson, as we discuss the topic, the state and influence of the Bahamas press secretary and related national matters. Press secretary Watson, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so very much for obliging my invitation. And of course, as I love to do, starting off on the lighter side of things, I want to talk to you just a little bit about you as a family man and as a nationalist. On your Twitter account, your description status, you have there proud husband and father and devoted national builder. Talk about what makes you a proud father and husband and what makes you describe yourself as a devoted nation builder.
I think, first of all, family is very important to me. I believe it's the foundation for anyone to be successful, because at the end of the day, that footing you stand on as a family man, it gives you the ability that you need to be able to endure difficult times, long days, hard conversations. There's always that excitement when it's all over that you're going home to a social network that you know will support you, love you, regardless of who you are, what you are, what you've been through. They're there. And I'm happy to have family in my life. My wife is very supportive. She undergirds me with a layer of prayer that keeps me grounded, which is so important for my life, my direction. She's very discerning about the direction of my life. And so I depend on her to discuss, because of that prophetic anointing that's on her life, the future, not only for me, but it all in turn affects our family. My daughter is, I think, everything. I look forward to when that key turns at night, she runs to the door, Daddy! And I look forward to that embrace of that hug. It makes all I've gone through the day worthwhile. She is also, I call her my little PA, my personal assistant, because she, where are you going? How long are you going to be there? Where are you going after that?
She's keeping you on check.
For a six-year-old, she surely keeps me on top.
And
it's always a blessing to have her in my life. And it makes life worth living because you recognize that you're doing it for these people. And that has so much meaning for me. So that's why I talk about being, so connected to my family. And then, of course, nation building. I believe it's why I do what I do. This is not for any personal gain. This is simply because I want to be able to contribute to my country. As a journalist for many years, I pointed out the faults, the flaws, the issues, the challenges we had. And then it got to a point where I said to myself, you're constantly talking about this and bringing people's issues to light and bringing people's plight to light and getting solutions. Why don't you go ahead and do this and be the solution rather than just always talking about it? And I think it comes a point in time where you can talk about a problem and talk about challenges and talk about issues. But then there also comes a point in time where God says to people, okay, you've talked about it. What about it being a part of the problem, being a part of the solution for it? And I got that message and that call. And I think that's why I made the transition, because I wanted to be a part of building my country, not tearing it down. I wanted to be a part of restoring my country, not killing it. I wanted to be a part of being able to help people rather than hurt people. I wanted to be a part of being able to speak into the future of our country rather than just speaking about the future of our country. And so it was very important for me to find the next. And the next to me was nation building. And that means a lot to me. It is why I do what I do and go the extra mile. I do maybe about 90% of helping people and 10% of being a press secretary. Because you find yourself in that mode where you just find yourself all day just helping people, working solutions for people. People are taking calls from people because they never had no one they felt in government who would take their call or who would really look after their problem unless they knew somebody. I wanted to be that person that people didn't know personally, but if they pick up the phone and say, I have a problem, somebody at my level will be willing to listen and try and get a solution for them. And that makes some of my days the best days I've ever had, is seeing people get their problem solved and call back and say, wow, I didn't think I'd actually get this solved. Thank you so much for taking the time out. And you don't even know me. That brings value to my life and shows me that we're helping people every day.
That was actually going to be my next question. I was going to ask you, what was the response? What has the response been like? A person's being able to now call the office of the prime minister, actually get someone to answer, and not just to answer the telephone, but to actually do something about their situation. I personally, I know a person too, been, calling the office of the prime minister, trying to get help for years, but still no feeling like they have no recourse and still no solution to their problem. But you're making a difference in this way.
And listen, it really does my heart glad to see people helped. We can't help everyone. I want to help everyone. I want to help everyone every day, and I want to get them solved. The minute they call me, I want to be able to solve the problem. But the reality is it doesn't happen that way in the public service, especially. It's a process. And we're working with the process, and we're working to help as much people as we can. But there are days you go home and you don't feel as if you've done enough. You don't feel as if you reached enough. You don't feel as if you've helped somebody enough. And that weighs on your shoulder. That weighs on your heart, because you want to serve so badly. And you don't want to hear people say, oh, I'm disappointed. Oh, I thought, things would be different. And while people may just say that for saying it's sake, I take everything they say seriously, because I believe that people really were hoping for greater and a change. And I believe that the administration is delivering that change. But I still do believe that we're not getting it done fast enough for people. And everyone is not being reached. And that bothers me, because we want to be able to bring healing to so many hurting people in this nation. But I recognize there's a process. And sometimes you get anxious wanting to help everybody right now. But it doesn't always happen that way.
What about using your influence to change the system that's really slowing down these processes and helping to bring relief to people, because it seems like the system itself is a part of the actual problem.
I'm glad you raised that. It is. It's a big part of the problem. But the reality I also realize is you won't change it in 6 months. Mm-hmm. It'll take years. Mm-hmm. And you try and change it and have impact where you can. It's decades of bureaucracy that has clogged the system. And you now have to find processes and changes that are relevant to today's time that can reach people. Sadly, a big part of the problem is not just the system, it's people. Some people are so tired and frustrated because whatever they may be facing or whatever their own personal issues are not being resolved, that they won't go the extra mile. There are some that will, there are some that won't. But even aside from that, what I find the biggest problem is while people want to help, the system is designed to be a long process. And to change it sometimes requires legislation. It requires
more than
just a unit wanting to change it. It requires a whole ministry wanting to change, because you may change your little area and then the bottleneck happens somewhere later, somewhere up the road. So it requires a massive change to see some kind of results. We believe that if we put in place policies that are revolutionary, it'll cause there to be immediate effect. And that's what the administration is trying to do.
You believe that there are policies that have been put in place that's actually revolutionary, that is causing or that's generating immediate effect, or at least near to immediate effect?
Yes, digitalization, obviously. And that didn't just start with this administration. It started with previous administrations.
Are you talking about like the My Gateway?
My Gateway project, yeah, okay. which allows people to do a lot of government business online rather than having to go into ministries. Now, the challenge of that is what's why it has to be updated and upgraded, which is what Wade Watson, who's parliamentary secretary in that area, is trying to do. Because what happens is you can go so far and then you still have to go in, you know, the kind of way. Though I think you become totally revolutionary when you can do everything online, get what you need online and never have to go to the office. But it's like police records. You can get it. You can apply for it online. Then you still got to go and pick it up. Mm-hmm. What you want is a system that allows people to be able to apply for things online, get it online, download it online, pay for it online, and move on. And never have to see the ministry. Challenge is a lot of these things are digitalized, but you still have to go in for a part of the process. So that's why the system needs upgrading. The programs need upgrading so that you don't have to go in. There's still a lot more programs that need to go on digitalization. There are a lot of programs are on there now. But the public is still unaware of everything. So making a lot of it aware to people so they don't know they have to go in for it. And then, of course, being able to put more of those systems online. But, of course, it takes being able to get those records in the system. When we talk about paper in the public service, it's unbelievable.
Yes, it is unbelievable.
Scan and get in the system. It's a mammoth task, but I believe what's needed is a special task force of workers, even if it's up to 2,000 people for a period of 2 to 3 years, whose responsibility is
just strictly uploading
and making sure it's accurate at it so that we get the progress, because you'll never catch up if you don't have a special task force working on it. I think that's important.
Two words. How have you found the transition from hosting the nationally acclaimed Beyond the Headlines news show to now being press secretary in the office of the prime minister? What have been the heaviest challenges, you would say, with this particular transition?
So for me, I think it was just holding my mouth. And Beyond the Headlines, I was able to say how I felt about it, how I felt about situations, respond back to people who had things to say. Now I can't really respond. It's not my view anymore. I'm the mouthpiece for the government and for the prime minister. So I speak only what they feel to a matter. There's no room for my personal views. Sometimes I succeed, sometimes I fail at it, because sometimes you just got to answer for folk who you know they're trying to be cheeky. So I think that's been the biggest challenge, is just knowing it takes you to another level of maturity to recognize that not everything people say you need to respond to. Not every viewpoint people share, you have to rebut to. Some things you just be an eagle and stay above the fray and just leave it alone and just do your job. And I'm learning that every day. I'm learning that every day, not to let it get to me, wear it off of me, and just stay focused on the job that I've been assigned. I knew as a talk show host that there were people out there who hated on me, even colleagues in the industry who may have issues with me because of my show and my style. I knew that. But taking this role, I did not imagine, even though I was aware and I was prepared emotionally and spiritually to be attacked, I just did not think that our Bahamian brothers and sisters could be so bitter
And vicious
about somebody's ascension to office. I could be so downright nasty and unfair. You know, I have no problem with you criticizing or you're analyzing, and it's in fair game. But a lot of what I faced when I first took office was unnecessary. It was people's personal agendas, with people's personal views. I had a comment from one person who said, boy, people are hating. I said, what do you mean they're hating? And this is a colleague. She said, boy, I just came on the phone with somebody else from another agency. And they were like, oh, he's not going to last. Oh, he'll be out of there before long. They were literally almost trying to pray and hope I don't last. And then I had attacks from other agencies in media and threats. Like, if you don't make changes, we're going to make sure you all come down. We'll pull you down. And people don't know. I've never talked about it like I'm talking about it now. I just knew what I was facing spiritually. So it didn't bother me. But the attacks were bitter. I were nasty. And it showed me that people really have serious issues in this country. And we don't support our own when they move up. We still make it very personal or political. And it's unfortunate. I've moved beyond it. I've grown from it. I've learned from it. But it's an unfortunate experience I always think back on. And I feel sad for our nation when we have people in media and other areas who are that thin-skinned or that petty that they would try to see someone's demise rather than wish them well.
Do you think it's just an expression and probably a dimension of just the Black crab syndrome or just, you know, self-contempt as a region, even as a nation?
Yeah, but I don't like to say, I don't like to make it national because there are so many Bahamians who are the opposite, who have been so supportive, who have been encouraging, who have been congratulatory. I mean, so I don't want to label it as a nation thing because there are far more good than it is the bad. The bad, you can count them in your hand, you know, kind of way. So I don't believe it's a national thing. I just believe people have personal issues in their life. And sometimes that's just the way they deal with it. And I'm happy that I don't do that to people. I'm one who believes big in celebrating people. I love people.
That's good.
I believe in celebrating people's successes.
That's good.
Celebrating people's next. I said it when I had the show on the last day. My movement created movement for so many other people and opportunities. That was exciting for me. And I'm always looking, even where I am now, to find opportunities for other people who didn't have opportunities. And you hear people twist it around and be like, oh, he's gutting the media. Not so. It's people who've been waiting for so many years for opportunities they never had. And you're now opening doors because you recognize the value of people. And I just love seeing people succeed, seeing people win. And it's unfortunate that we don't have more people like
that. You sound as though you feel like you've been misjudged a lot.
I don't think it's misjudged. I think people know me. But people try to paint their own picture of what they want people to see of me.
Anybody
who knows Clint Watson knows me. They know I love God, first of all, and I love people, second of all. And I love doing what I do as a broadcaster, and I love doing what I do in music, gospel music. That's who I am. And I smile because over the last 6 months, every bit of those spheres were touched by assaults. And I'm going to get spiritual here, by assaults by the enemy. They try to come out for Shabbat with the Dubai thing and make it look as if it was some unfair, uncompetitive advantage, not knowing that it was something that was planned by 2019 under a former administration. You see?
We're going to get into talking about that a little bit later on down because I want to bring up one or two other dimensions about that as well. But go on.
Yeah. So that came under attack and Shabbat came under attack and people tried to attack us for that. And that didn't stick. And then people tried to attack me as a journalist. Oh, you know, he was for the people and all of a sudden he ain't for the people no more. Well, he changed. He was fighting for journalists and all of a sudden he trying to stop them. And it was nothing further from the truth. But what we've done right now is we've made journalists in this country more accommodating than they've ever been. More comfortable than they've ever been in journalism. And so the thing you do.
You believe so? Good, more comfortable than they've ever been.
Ever been. And I can say that without, because I've been around in journalism for more than 20 years. I don't think there's anybody on the active beat today who's been there longer than I have.
So what would you say to those persons who would make reference to that particular occasion when the barricades were put out?
And I'm glad you raised that up. I tell people, ask the journalists now who complain. Ask them now whether what they have now is better than what they had before or worse. Every single one of them will tell you it's better. I'll break it down for you. Used to going on Tuesday, hustling outside in the elements, hoping for a cabinet minister to stop by when they pass to give you an interview. You may get two or three during the whole time and the whole period. If it rains, you catch it. If it's too hot, you sweat. That's what they were used to. Now they come, they're escorted to the press room. They sit comfortably. They're able to engage in whatever talk conversation they want, and they're able to relax. And they don't have to look for one cabinet minister. From the day before, they send their request on who they want to interview. And guess what happens? Those persons are escorted in the room to them one by one. And they're able to interview them without a hassle. Not one reporter complains today that it's worse than it was.
Definitely before. Massive improvement there, Press Secretary
massive.
Clint Watson. However, you did not speak to that particular instance that I actually just referenced, talking about when the barricades were put out, when they were told that, hey, nothing's happening today. What about that particular occasion? Was that something that was
the occasion I'm talking about now?
Okay.
That's the occasion I'm talking about now. What happened was the story was told incorrectly. Barricades were never put out. There were cones that are there every single day of the week, and reporters were told that they could not come beyond the cones. If they wanted to interview somebody, they had to interview them downstairs because the building is a public building. This is the first time that cabinet is being held in a facility that's open to the public. So when before they could stand at the door and get cabinet ministers, you can't now because this is the office of the prime minister and the Ministry of Finance, which means you have investors, you have ordinary citizens coming in day after day for service. You cannot stand in front of the door with video cameras and try and interview somebody because people don't want to be caught on camera. So they were told that you can do your interviews off to the side where you're not in the view of anybody.
Okay, so that had nothing to do with what was going on nationally at the time?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Okay.
And when
I wanted to make that clear.
And when I came, they said, oh, they told us people to stand. I said, yeah, because it's a public building. We can't get a cabinet minister. They ain't going to walk over here to us. I said, what we are doing to eliminate that is we're putting in place a new cabinet briefing. So you won't have to worry about that going forward. And that's when I called the reporters upstairs to explain to them what will be happening. And I took them upstairs and I said, going forward, here's what's going to happen.
Okay.
And that's when I explained to them about the new process. Now, I said about today, cabinet comes out and breaks at 1 o'clock. If you want to get a minister, I will make sure you're accommodated and you can get them at 1 o'clock. So there was no obstruction of trying to stop them from doing their work. What happened was they showed up to a meeting that generally it's not a public meeting. It's cabinet office. You showed up to a facility that could not accommodate what you're used to doing.
Okay.
So we had to explain to them that it won't be able to happen this way, but we will accommodate you another way.
Okay. So thank you very much for bringing further clarification to that particular matter, because there's a lot that's been said about that and lots of different opinions. And it's always good when we can just get the actual facts.
And you know, what's funny about it is the stories you saw going around where they said, oh, it's quite different from Watson, who when he was a host, advocated for reporters and cried out at ministers when ministers tried to put barricades up there. And they played the clip with me carrying on. And
yes,
so
that occurred. That happened. Yes.
And
they did play the clip.
I said, I'm glad they played the clip because the clip is why I took the job. Mm-hmm. I got tired of the media being treated poorly because there was nobody in government who understood how to treat media. That's why I took the job, to ensure that that never happens again.
Okay.
That's why I took the job. Okay. So I told people, I'm glad you played the story because you could very well understand now why I'm so passionate about ensuring that we cater to the media. I understood what the media went through in the past. It was not a contradiction. It was, to me, substantiating why I took this job, to make it better for the media.
Okay. Let's talk about the gravity and weight of the office of press secretary, especially on a national level. As your press secretary in the office of the prime minister, if a PLP member of parliament or minister does or says something that is overtly or even inherently wrong, as the press secretary out of obligation to the electorate, and to the Bahamian people, will you state or say that it is or was indeed wrong?
I'm glad you asked that, because the role of the press secretary is never to insert opinion. The role of the press secretary is to communicate a message. And my job as the government spokesperson and the prime minister's spokesperson is to communicate the viewpoints of the government and the prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. That viewpoint however that viewpoint is derived, I'm communicating a position. It's not about whether or not if somebody says something wrong, because I can't judge whether something's wrong or not. All I know is, as a press secretary, I communicate on policy matters. And that's why I'm glad you raised that issue, because you get into right and wrong when you start bringing in personal views and you bring in moral issues and you're bringing in issues that require opinion. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's why the press secretary stays away from those issues. People say he running from this from the question. No, he's not. He understands his role. I communicate policy. I communicate announcements. I communicate positions. So it should never be an issue of whether something's right or wrong, because I should never be put in a position to have to communicate something that can be judged as right or wrong. And that's why you have to understand your role and what you should be communicating versus what you should not be communicating. So you're never, ever put in a compromising position. Whenever there's a matter that requires opinion or viewpoint, I will never deliver that. The individual will deliver that themselves. When it comes to communicating policy, communicating information, communicating announcements, communicating news, that's where I come in. So I don't ever have the fear of, oh, I'm going to be asked to say something that I don't want to say. No, because that's not what I communicate. That's somebody else's job.
What would you say to persons who say that you actually function partly also too as a gatekeeper, right? For those persons that may be viewed as someone who's not really able to speak for themselves effectively, efficiently, and might just misspeak a little bit too much, right? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to function as the go-in-between so that they don't even get access to this particular person, right? So we can keep a good face. What do you say to those persons who suggest that?
Not so. I don't speak for cabinet ministers. They speak for themselves. I speak for the government, and I speak, when I say government, meaning policy for the government or position for government on a matter, but I speak for one man, the prime minister. I'm his press secretary. I don't need to be his go-between anything, because he's proven against all odds that he's able to communicate quite effectively, not only to the Bahamian people, but to the world. He does not need Clint Watson to speak for him. What it is a job and a function, because he's running a country, that he doesn't have to go and speak, stop what he's doing to speak to the country on a regular basis. Now, he does it periodically from point to point, but I communicate to the people every week through press conferences. Prime Minister just doesn't have that time on his schedule to do so, as any other nation, but most nations have press secretaries to do that. Because they're busy running countries. So I'm there to communicate his position and to communicate his message to people, so he doesn't have to be bothered by doing that. It does not mean he's unable to do it. He's able to do it quite effectively. He just did it recently at a news conference. We bring him in quarterly from time to time on issues. There are times when he believes something is important, he wants to speak to it. He speaks to it. Most of the times when we're on events and assignments, after the event is over, reporters always come to try and get him on matters. He obliges them most of the time in taking their interviews and talking to them. He is not one who runs in the media. He embraces the media. He did it when he was in opposition. He held monthly press conferences and he embraced them every time they called. And now that he's in office, he does it. And he makes sure that if he's not able to do it, there is somebody who can do it for him, because he believes in ensuring that the media can always have access to government. So I'm not a substitute for him. I am the ability to be an additional voice when he's not able to do it himself.
Okay, thank you for answering that question emphatically. I'm going to read a portion of this newspaper article published in 2019, and then I'll ask you a related question. In a press statement announcing the appointment on May 18th, 2017, the government said, open quote, "This appointment is the beginning of the resolve of newly elected Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis to make transparency one of the watchwords of his new Free National Movement government. Anthony Newbold will conduct media briefings on cabinet decisions after cabinet meetings and coordinate media appearances and press conferences for the prime minister, among other duties," end quote. Press Secretary, Mr. Watson, is this when and how the title and role of Press Secretary in the Bahamas came about? And is the reasoning or purpose of your post the same as far as transparency and openness in government?
Yes. The former prime minister, in his wisdom, saw the importance of having a press secretary. He was correct in that. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely the right decision to make, because there needed to be that. There was a void in communications in this country and a void in somebody to coordinate the media in the country. So he was correct in creating this role. Unfortunately, as people would have seen, Anthony Noble, who was a mentor of mine, was not able to fully live out the whole parameters of that role during his tenure in office. For whatever reason, I don't want to get into that. That's nothing to do with me. When he and I spoke, when I assumed office and took over from him, mm-hmm. he and I met. He showed me his layout of what he thought the role should be, what he would like to have seen. I took it and I committed to him that we will ensure it happens and come to pass. So I surely hope I'm making him pleased and proud by what we're doing and being able to keep this going and develop all of the parameters around it. There's still a lot more that you mentioned there that we would like to do as well. And we're going to get there in time. Everything is a process, particularly like the update on decisions made in cabinet. We've done some of it, but we're going to do it more consistently. And so Anthony Noble laid a great blueprint for what this role should be. As a member of the media, I've always studied what the press secretary should do. So I know how to add other things to it as well to define it. But yes, he laid a great blueprint. And I sure hope that I'm making him proud in being able to develop what it is that we're doing.
Talking about making him proud, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you grade yourself and why?
I don't know how to rate myself right now. I would go at maybe a 5 midpoint.
A 5?
I'll go to 5 midpoint, because there are a couple of things I set out that we wanted to implement. We were able to do. We're not fully there yet. I've not fully realized the full potential of what this job can do. So that's why I would not give myself anything higher than that, because I want to leave room to be able to grow, develop, and get some things done, get some things right. It's only been 6 months, so hopefully we'll have some time.
Yeah, I was just going to say, maybe you're being just a little bit hard on yourself, you know, considering the fact that it's just 6 months and counting just a little bit, right? You want to factor in also the amount of time that you've had in order to execute what it is that you have on paper. Okay, well said. Thank you. A teaching moment I'd like for us to have here. What is the difference between the role, number one, of the Bahamas Information Services, BIS, number two, press secretary in the office of the prime minister, and number three, the director of communications in the office of the prime minister?
Great question.
And what is the difference in the level and the type of information that each post and or department is responsible for gathering and releasing to the Bahamian public?
Great question. I'm glad you asked that. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's break it down. Bahamas Information and Services is constituted by law as the government's public relations arm. They're responsible for disseminating information from the government. They're responsible for communicating government's message to the masses and to the people, right? That's what BIS does. That's what it should be doing every day, is doing that. What the Director of Communication does in the Office of the Prime Minister is he's responsible for the long-term communication plan for the government and how that will be transformed and how that will be communicated to the people of the Bahamas. What are we thinking of long-term? What is the plan for the government? What is the government trying to achieve? What is the government, how is the government going to achieve it over the period of time? So they put together strategies and plans to communicate the government's message. They also deal with Prime Minister's communications, his speeches, speech writing, putting together any communication that comes in that says, we want the Prime Minister or we want the Office of the Prime Minister to do this. That's passed on to communications, who then prepares, once he's accepted or not, they then prepare whatever communication he's going to deliver. So it's a lot of work in that particular area. Mm-hmm. The press office, the Prime Minister's press secretary, is responsible for dealing with the day-to-day news cycle, the day-to-day media, the working press. People call for questions, responses on issues. They want to book an appointment with the Prime Minister for an interview. They want a Prime Minister's response on something. They call me. They said, listen, we need to, what is the government's response to X, Y, Z? What is the government's response? This happened. Do you have a response? So we deal with the day-to-day news cycle, and we're busy dealing with all of the active media houses on a daily basis,
okay,
interviews, facilitating them with material, mm-hmm, answers to questions, coordinating press conferences with the prime minister. I move with him wherever he goes, and dealing with media. So wherever he is, I coordinate the media around him to make sure that he's not bombarded, that he's the people deal with him in an organized fashion. Anybody who wants to interview him from international agencies, I deal with the day-to-day talking to the prime minister. I communicate to him what's in the media every day, what's in the news every day. I brief him on the news briefings every day, make sure he's up to date on what's happening in the news cycle, make sure he's aware of what somebody said. So that's me. I'm dealing with the press and I deal with him. Mm-hmm. We've also instituted a press office to facilitate the press secretary. So I have a team of people who work with me. They're called press officers. They're responsible for coordinating all the press conferences, getting all the responses from reporters. When reporters call in or write in or email in for answers, they get all that done. We have also videographer and video editors. So we put together pieces when we travel or when we cover the prime minister at any event, mm-hmm, we put together our own pieces of what he's done and we send it out to the media and put it on all of our social media platforms. That's what the press secretary and the press office does. We deal with the day-to-day media cycle and the prime minister. Communications office deal with the long-term communications and graphics and stuff of policies. The BIS deals with disseminating everything, getting it out to where it needs to go, archiving everything, coordinating any national event that requires the coordination of the press. BIS does that. For example, like the royal visit, organizing media accreditation and coordinating media. BIS deals with all of that. So that's what their role is. And now what you also, to add to that, a fourth component is you now have, in most ministries, now have communication officers or directors of communications in each ministry. Those persons are there because the workload is so heavy in these ministries, they need their own communications arms to put out press releases from their ministries, to coordinate events that are happening for the media. They arrange their own media and all that stuff. So you now find that each ministry and organization now have their own communications department to deal with all of their internal communications. Because communications is huge. And what this administration has been definite on is ensuring that communications is not weak in the government. So that's why we spent so much time and money and effort staffing our communications throughout the government branches to ensure that people are always aware, informed, and updated on how government is functioning.
Thank you very much for bringing clarity and details, you know, with your answer, because a lot of times I believe that a lot of the criticisms that are being had for personalities and even for certain organizations and departments, it's happening simply because of a lack of understanding.
Yeah.
People really just don't understand the role. They don't understand the day-to-day functioning. And so, you know, I think a lot of the criticisms are sometimes baseless, you know, unfortunately. And sometimes we just need to just take a step back and actually just tell people, give them the information, right? So that they can be informed. I want to ask you this question right before we go to a break, because we've got to take a break right now. And then on the other side of the break, I want us to go and talk just very briefly about one or two hot topics and matters of national concern. But what's it like being on the other side of the fence? And when I say this, as in now you're no longer that news reporter, that news show host or commentator trying to probe to get information, but now you are the press secretary acting almost as the gatekeeper, if you will, on behalf of the Bahamas government to the press. What's it like being on the other side? And does your conscience sometimes prompt you to think that maybe in some instances you're functioning as an obstruction to freedom of information to members of the press?
I would hope not. I hope I would never be an obstruction, but more a facilitator. I go above and beyond to ensure that when people ask me questions, I get them the answer. Why? I understand what it's like as a journalist to need that response to make your story balanced, and you can't get it. It's hard to publish a story. So I always make sure, reporters can tell you, I will always get back to them. I will always get the response to them because I understand how important it is. So I see myself as a facilitator, having come from the side of media and journalism, to understand the importance of their role and why they are partner with government, because they help get our information and our message out. We can't criticize a story when we've not taken the opportunity to be a part of the story by responding.
Okay.
So I always want to make sure that we have a response in there, because that way you cannot criticize anybody and say, oh, they didn't get our message out. Your job is to communicate your role. Now, if you communicate it and they don't use it, it's a different story. But whatever you're given the opportunity, I see it as just that, the opportunity to put forward the government's position and to do it respectfully. And I enjoy doing that. I do miss being a journalist, being a reporter on the front line. I will always be a journalist, no matter who I am. Yeah. But I do miss being able to go after that great story and tell that story. I miss it. I miss connecting with people and telling them the stories. But I also understand that there is a time and season for everything.
Of course.
And I appreciate this next in my life and what it does for my life and what it does for me as an individual and what it does for our country. And I'm grateful for it.
As the saying goes, once a journalist, always a journalist, right?
Yeah, sure enough.
And for those of you just tuning in, you're listening into Influencers here on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. Your host, Lady Shima, and we're discussing the topic, the state and influence of the Bahamas Press Secretary and related national matters. And there will be more on the other side of this break. Please stay tuned.
There's this place you can buy quality men and ladies fragrances like Versace and Jimmy Choo for the best prices in town. It's easy to find with lots of parking and great customer service too. Want to know where? I'm talking about Sawyer's Treasures and Tings, located right next to Sawyer's Studios in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 9 to 5. Call them now at 361-7299. Got it? Sawyer's Treasures and Tings at 361-7299.
Hey, Dad, want a race?
Well, let's see who's trying to keep up with who today.
Oh, because you need a head start?
I'm already way ahead of you, son.
Keep up with what matters. Joint Care supplements your active lifestyle by supporting your bones, cartilage, muscles with essential nutrients. Joint Care helps to reduce inflammation with omega-3 and replenishes glucosamine, a natural compound vital to healthy cartilage and joints. Choose the Joint Care formula that is right for you. Supplex, Complete, and Max are available at your local pharmacy. Joint Care, a part of the Seven Seas family of vitamins and supplements.
ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk, opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices.
Welcome back to Influencers here on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. I am your host, Lady Shima. And with me today is influencer Clint Watson, Press Secretary in the Office of the Prime Minister, as we discuss the topic today, the state and influence of the Bahamas Press Secretary and related national matters. Now, Clint, right before the break, we were talking more so about the actual functioning and the state of the actual office and position and role of the press secretary in the office of the prime minister. But right now, I'd like to just pivot just a bit and talk more so about national matters of concern and even what may be a rise to hot topics. Trip to Dubai, right? You're probably a bit tired hearing about this, but I really want to get your take here on influencers. You received a lot of commendation and praise concerning this trip to Dubai. However, as we know, you and even some of the members of your delegation received quite a bit of backlash. There were conflicting stories out in the public as to the actual purpose and intent of this trip, as well as to who would fit the bill, right? Remind us again, what's the final story here? What's really happened? What are the facts?
The facts are that this was in planning for three consecutive administrations. It began under the Christie administration, continued in the Minister's administration, and brought to fruition under the Davis administration. The World Expo is a major expo that happens every 4 or 5 years, like the Olympics, in a particular country where major pavilions are built to promote that country. It is a major deal. The major players in the world are there. The Bahamas was going to be a part. The government of the United Arab Emirates gave Bahamas some $3 to $4 million to make sure that we were there and showed up in big numbers and showed up and put a good show on. That's a lot of money for a country to give you to make sure that you are present. And so that was to help construct the pavilion. It was UB students were part of the design and the construction of the pavilion. It was built by the UAE government. And of course, now what happens at the World Expo is each country is given a particular day to be highlighted at the expo. And for the Bahamas Day, it was determined by previous administrations, the Bahamas has sent a delegation of performing artists to give them a Bahamian experience in performance to go along with the pavilion. A number of artists and groups were selected to go, the police band, the All-Stars band, a dance troupe, Dynamite Daisy, Shabak, several of our local recording artists, Lady E, Dylan McKenzie, D-Mac, Novi, several of, a lot of artists to try and give a good genre and a good cross-section of what was happening and what was going on. And of course, Shabak had already been in talks in the previous administration to go from 2019 to go. So when the opportunity presented itself again, because there was no gospel representation, and it was decided that, okay, Shabak has every year, there was independence for the past several years. Shabak travels to an embassy or a consulate somewhere in the world for the Bahamas, a Bahamian consulate or embassy, and always puts on a great Bahamian cultural show. They can do Bahamian cultural music as well as they can do gospel as well. It's a great opportunity to have them so they can do both. Mm-hmm. And also, this is their 25th anniversary. They're preparing to wind up as a ministry. They've said it vocally. They said it audibly to people. So I think the administration thought, you know, this is a good opportunity to do something for Shabak before they're done. And I think it was ready in the workings. And so they were like, okay, let's go through with it. And so we were asked to go. Also, I think what's important to note that they had a lot of rules for the Dubai performances. And one of them was because of COVID, no choirs, that there only could be up to a certain amount of people on the stage. Mm-hmm. And Shabak is an ensemble. We're not a choir. And so I thought, I think that was one of the reasons why they said, okay. And when they came to us, they said, can you do it with about 6 to 8 singers on stage? I said, okay. Sure. I said, sure, we could do it with that. And that's why you see in the photos, Shabak, I think, had 8 singers on the stage.
So what do you say to persons concerning the selection of your delegation? And even those who would ask, why wasn't the national choir taken over to sing our folk music, seeing as though that's what they've been doing for many years. And that's why they were actually created as a group.
I can answer that. I'm not a part of the decision making for that. I might be the press secretary, but that had nothing to do with me.
Shabak being the group that was chosen to really give renditions for our folk music, that part of Bahamian culture, that had absolutely nothing to do with Clint Watson.
No, I was not in the room when they made decisions. This trip was planned by the tourism and the Ministry of Sports and Culture. I have absolutely no bearing to those ministries. Mm-hmm. So I got a call like everybody else. This was not planned by the Office of Prime Minister. I could understand people's concern. They feel, oh, they may have been given favoritism because they planned it. This had nothing to do with the Office of the Prime Minister. Absolutely nothing. That was planned by other ministries. We had no involvement in that at all. Neither in the decision. I can't say why other people weren't chosen versus other people. I don't know. I love the National Youth Choir and enjoy them as well. No beef with them. I don't know what happened or why.
Persons who were thinking that you were so influential when it comes to the selection of the artists who were taken over, they're wrong.
No. Yeah. No. Understand, we were asked last minute. Maybe like a very last minute. Mm-hmm. And I think because they were trying to find an ensemble from the gospel community, and that's why we were asked. This wasn't, no, listen, remember I told you from 2019 we were in discussions.
Right.
So after the pandemic went on and nothing, you know, we went on about our business. We got a call later in the end and saying, can you do this with this amount of people? And I said, well, of course we can. And that's how we got on it. This had nothing to do with me sitting down saying, it doesn't work that way. I get people. it makes a juicier story to say, oh, he chose the church choir over everybody else. Oh, he let his people go. It had absolutely nothing at all okay. to do with it. I had nothing to do with that. Daisy being on there, I had nothing to do with that either. She was on there from what I understand from the beginning. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with me. I didn't know about that. Mm-hmm. Until I found out, oh, you're going. Oh, okay, cool. So these lies about, he get him and his family. it's
far from the truth.
It's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. But this is why you need to take the opportunity to really bring the facts forward and to bring clarification.
I honestly don't believe people were concerned about the facts. And let me tell you why. I'm going to be very honest with this.
Okay, very briefly.
That story was perpetrated by a certain media house who never bothered to call me for my response. They aired a story on me and about my family and about Shabak, but never bothered to call me for my response. That told me from then they weren't trying to get a balanced story. They wanted to try and create bad press. And so, of course, what do you do? When you take a story and you put it in public domain on Facebook, people run behind the version that you publish and believe that's the truth without ever finding out. No one bothered to call and ask me how I felt. No one bothered to call and ask me, can you clarify what happened or what transpired? You are the first one asking.
Wow. So I'm very glad that we have the answer here from Press Secretary Clint Watson himself giving us the facts. Thank you very much for taking the time to answer the question. The official royal visit just ended a few days ago, March 24th to the 26th. The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, Prince William and Duchess Catherine, representing Her Majesty the Queen Elizabeth II, as part of celebrations to mark her Platinum Jubilee, 70 years on the throne. Lots of controversy here. Some saying it's part of our history, just accept it and leave things as they are. And there were others, though, who protested in their own way, calling for reparation payments and an apology for slavery, right? The Prince William saying during his address, open quote, I want to say this, we support with pride and respect your decisions about your future, relationships evolve, friendship endures, end quote. Now, as the press secretary in the office of the prime minister, what now is the stance from the office of the prime minister as it relates to those persons who might have somewhat of a conflict in their hearts and in their head concerning this visit? And then also you even have it to the level where persons were actually doing their individual or small groups of protest saying, hey, this should not be going on in our country. And who's paying for this, by the way?
So our position has always been the same. And that is the Queen is head of state. Mm-hmm. And so her designated representatives are here. They chose the Bahamas as one of the places they'd visit. We do what we do whenever we have the opportunity to extend the Hayman hospitality. We do it with professionalism to the best of our abilities, regardless of how we feel about certain things. We didn't choose it for them to come. They chose the Bahamas to come. And our job, because they are the head of state of the country, is when they say we're coming to prepare and ensure that it's done properly and professionally. That's how it's been for time and time immemorial. It has nothing to do with the discussion as to whether we should move away from the British monarchy, whether we should become Republican. All of those things are for the people to decide, not even the government. And Prime Minister has said, if the people want this, we will do what the people want. Mm-hmm. If the people want to be separated, we will do what the people want. And so Bahamians have to be able to speak up loud and clear. That's what they want. It's not for our government to decide on that. It's for the people to decide. And that's where the final decision will rest, with the people. Until such time, we're gracious hosts. We do what we do best. And we saw it as a great opportunity to the world to share about the Bahamas as a great tourist destination. We maximize the opportunities we had with the various media houses that were here to be able to promote the Bahamas to the world, to promote our hospitality to the world. And that's exactly what we did. Mm-hmm. We paid for the cost of them coming here and for their lounging and transportation and so forth. We're happy that all of that money stayed here. vendors, local vendors, sound people, people who had various stalls, booths, the paving of roads, all of these things benefit the Bahamian people. At the end of the day, the Bahamian people would have benefited from whatever upgrades took place to accommodate them. But at the end of the day, what we want to do is ensure that the maximum exposure for the Bahamas took place and it was done in a way that was positive. We believe it was positive. It was a successful visit. Hats off to the organizers, our excellent City High Commissioner Leslie Miller Bryce, Jack Thompson and their team, who worked exceptionally well.
Yes,
put on
yes.
A great thing, even when weather interfered. Mm-hmm. They went on and did well. We have to be commended as a Bahamian people for coming together while people did protest and showed their views. They did it in a respectful manner.
Yes.
There was no outburst or anything. The Bahamian people do what we do best. We know to host people despite what our differences are. And I think at the end of the day, the Bahamas will be commended and has been commended for an excellent visit. And we're happy about that.
Thank you. The Minister of National Security, Wayne Monroe, QC, said, according to one of our local newspaper dailies, that had he been the attorney for the 40-year-old man sentenced to 4 years in prison for impregnating a 14-year-old girl, he would not have advised him to take such a high sentence because she consented. Would you say that he misspoke?
I think what the Prime Minister said, and I think it's important to repeat that, he believes that the National Security Minister gave his personal view. And as cabinet ministers, you must know when your personal view is required from when you speak officially in your role. He's new as a minister. He's spent many years as a defense attorney and 6 months as a minister. So there's still a lot he has to learn and understand the hat and the role he wears. So I think the Prime Minister put it quite eloquently. We have to make sure that whenever we speak for the role and for the office and on our personal views. Prime Minister said that it's not his view as a government, and certainly as the policies don't reflect, that is our view. We are a government for the people. We know what our people require. We have a duty and responsibility to protect our women and children, and we have to do whatever it takes to do that. There is no bargaining or negotiating on that. And there's no room for personal views or preferences or suggestions. We ought to always speak in the role that we play.
With that said, is there now any consideration being given seriously as it relates to legislation, even with raising the age of consent? It is now currently 16. Of course, we have a lot of 16-year-olds who are still in high school who should be thinking about taking their BGCSEs. But according to what's on the books, they can literally say, yes, we can have intercourse.
Yeah, the Deputy Prime Minister has spoken about that and says how he believes that ought to change. And he said that they will have some discussion around the cabinet table. We'll see whether that moves into legislation. But he has expressed that he believes that that's not protecting our children, our young people, and there ought to be more to go a step further. But I also believe in what has been said by others in the administration, and that is, and even some other persons, onlookers and viewers on the outside, changing the age of consent is a lazy way of addressing the issue. And you know what? That may be very true. While it puts a different layer of protection in the Constitution and for the laws, it is a lazy way of addressing what we're facing in our country. We have to do more.
Yes.
We have to do more. A lot of times we believe laws, the easy thing is change the law. No, because we have laws for many things and people are still being violated. People are still experiencing horrific experiences, even with these laws on the books. We have to do more socially in our country.
Yes.
We have to do more that causes men to see themselves as protectors than violators. We have to do more to cause people in this country to understand the value of a life and not believe as if because I'm upset with you, I can just get rid of your life. We have to do more to help people understand, mothers in their homes understand the important role as a mother in raising your daughters with values, that they will never be swayed by anybody that comes their way. We have to do more to bring a social consciousness in our country of morals and standards and move more towards them instead of away from them. These things you can't just fix by changing a law. This comes by us working with our people, our families, our society to bring about meaningful change that starts from inside out, not outside in.
Mm-hmm. That brings about meaningful change from the inside out, not outside in. And of course, legislation will not be enough. The solution that we need as a country And as a society, it is multidimensional. It is multi-tier. Yes. However, that is a very, very, very important component and aspect to bringing about the solution that we need, because it should be according to law. You know, a 16-year-old being able to give a consent? No. Right. And so you are precisely correct, though, that we do need to take a look at the solutions as it relates to really social reform and really looking at the bedrock of any society, every society, which, of course, is the family. And really great conversation always. Thank you very much for your time today here on Influencers. Press Secretary in the Office of the Prime Minister, Clint Watson, as we discussed the topic, the state and influence of the Bahamas Press Secretary and related national matters. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Blessings, everyone. Until next time.
Influencers was brought to you by
Joint Care, supplements to keep you active. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. The Affirmation Nation. And Guardian Talk Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.